Start 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Excessive heat warnings are up for much of the Southwest, where temperatures are routinely past the century mark. It's also creating a challenge for utilities. People trying to keep homes cool and save money. Reliant Energy Houston's Bill Clayton.
A good rule of thumb is if you leave longer than 4 hours, raise your thermostat 4 degrees. That's sort of the boundaries in terms of how to get the most out of your energy dollar.
President Biden's been talking about democracy today and the Americans who fought to liberate Europe during D-Day anniversary ceremonies in France.
Does anyone doubt that they would want America to stand up against Putin's aggression here in Europe today?
An encouraging jobs report from the government, including more jobs than expected in May. Here's Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick.
Things are popping up all over. The Labor Department's May jobs report produced upside surprises in payrolls, wage growth, and unemployment.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 7 University of Wisconsin schools are still more than $17 million in debt, even after a year of deep budget cuts. UW-Oshkosh, for one, has run through all its reserves. That's a first for the UW system. Oshkosh is $7.5 million in the red and will have to borrow money to boost its budget next year. Alleged felonies at the Waupun State Prison are reviving talk of replacing the aging state prisons at Waupun and Green Bay. State Representative Mark Bourne says the lockups are too outdated to remodel.
Both of those facilities, they're built in such a different way that refurbishing them is very difficult, very expensive. It would be hard to make them useful in a modern prison way.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt recommends remodeling or rebuilding. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Hanna Center in Wisconsin Rapids is holding an open house next week. You'll be able to tour the new location on Friday, June 14th from 4 to 7. They're located at 1320 Pepper Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. You'll have a chance to learn more about the community partnerships that made the completion of this renovation possible and learn about the programs they offer for residents and outside clients. The Hanna Center's mission is to assist women and children in crisis through compassion and guidance in a nurturing environment. The Wisconsin Rapids location will have their official ribbon-cutting ceremony on Monday, July 1st at 10 a.m. The Spencerama Days Old Car and Truck Show is this Sunday. It's at the Spencer Lions Park. It's the 150th anniversary of Spencer, so they'll have special prizes. Registration is from 8 to 11, and the car show runs from 9 to 3. Proceeds will benefit the Spencer Kids Group of Spencer. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League. Hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Milwaukee continues to juggle its roster as 8 pitchers and 9 total players are on the DL. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. The Boston Celtics took Game 1 of the NBA Finals, winning 107-89 over the Dallas Mavericks. Jaylen Brown scored 22 points, while Jason Tatum had 16 points and 11 rebounds. Game 2 is Sunday night. 3 state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Like 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. Switch today.
with AutoPay using debit or bank account, plus taxes and fees. 45% off two lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. See details.
A dry and sunny day today, but we're still battling a breezy wind, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Otherwise, warmer today with high temperatures tapping the low 70s. Clouds increase overnight and rain rolls in by the morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something?
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Our guest Monday is a fourth-generation cheesemaker. She has the smallest licensed creamery in Wisconsin, but her cheddar just won a national honor.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this June 7th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two, we're going to talk with Tria Kimball from Wisconsin Rapid City Band. Looking forward to talking with them right now. Joining us on the phone lines, our good friend, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, where are you calling us from?
So, today I'm in Excelsior Springs, Missouri, actually.
Interesting. Yeah. New location.
I'm at a hotel called the Elms. It's most famous for... In the 1948 election night, Harry Truman stayed here, the night that he was infamously thought to lose to Thomas Dewey, only to wake up the next morning with the headlines reading incorrectly that he had lost the election. So it's a little famous hotel here in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. And the reason I'm here is I'm at a national conference for state legislatures. We're at the election chairs from across the country. Our meeting today, talking about election integrity, restoring confidence in elections, comparing notes across the states, talking about best practices, how we can help everybody across the spectrum and across the country understand how safe, fair, and free our elections are. So it's a pretty cool conference that the 20 or 30 of us showed up for from around the country who chair election committees and run election stuff in our states.
That's first off, I got to say, and I'd love to get into this conversation sometime with you. Most famous political stories. I wonder if the Dewey one is the most famous political story. It's such a common one. Even kids that I like, students I have in like 18, 19 know about that story. It's such an interesting one.
Not to go into it too much, but I mean, it just tells the difference of technology from then till today is that the paper had to be printed the night before. And when everybody went to bed, they figured that this was going to happen. And that didn't turn out that way. So
I'm sure nobody felt worse than Dewey and his people that he was representing and everything. But I'd also feel pretty bad if I was the reporter. I don't know how good your career is going to look after that. It's going to be pretty rough. Speaking of good. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing.
Being able to trust our journalists, trust our news, talking about what you're there for and talking about election and confidence in our elections, what are some of the bigger things you guys are discussing or you're hearing?
Well, it's really interesting. I just left a session right now. We were just me with Charles Stewart, the professor from MIT, who really dives into not only just the data of elections, but the psychology of elections and really talking about, you know, there's four things that people really dive into when it comes to trusting elections and the trustworthiness of elections. And what those four things really boil down to is that almost everybody that gets surveyed across the country feels that their elections back home, when they put their vote in the box or put it on the screen or however you do it, 90% of people surveyed say, yes, I feel confident that my vote was counted the way it was supposed to be counted. And then as you spread that survey out, if you go statewide, if you go regionally, if you go nationally and say, how confident are you that votes were counted somewhere else that they were supposed to be counted. Then that number just dips, like, precipitously, right? Because it's not right in front of your face. You didn't see it individually. You didn't touch the screen yourself. The people's trust in elections isn't their local election. It's other people's local elections that they don't get to see as much. So I think one of the things we've got to, you know, really work on resonating is building faith and confidence in other people's elections that you don't see yourself. Because if you have a great experience at your polling place, you're even more likely to say it's a great election and it was run right. If you're, and you know, the fourth one obviously is if your candidate wins, then you know the election was run right, right? But there, those two things, I think, is just showing people that just because it didn't happen where you saw it, doesn't mean that, you know. So that's what we really boiled it down to today, is trying to figure out a way to resonate that message and broadcast it, that, yeah, you know, your local elections are run great, but look over here in this county or look over here in this state. This is what they're doing, too. So that's where we've got to work together as legislators, start broadcasting success stories of our elections more than the problem stories of our elections.
The veins, the organs of this country are democracy and voting. And, you know, people believing in their vote, believing that it counts, believing that it is accurate, that it is being accounted accurately, and all these things, they're very important things. I will never make light of any of that, no matter who is asking the questions or anything. But, Scott, you and your colleagues there, I wonder if there is certainly the side of this, what you were covering there and talking about making sure that people are informed. There's another part of this, too, to me, and I push back on some of the people that are going back, you know, to two other elections or things like that. I'm talking about current ones and upcoming ones. There's a part of me that is thankful, and maybe I'm just scraping the barrel here, thankful that people care, that they're that engaged about this, that they are going out. And, you know, recently this week, we had in central Wisconsin here, had some of our election workers having an open kind of town hall and letting people come in and talk. If you question our elections that much, go ahead and work with those people. Go ahead and get to work on Election Day. Volunteer. Put your money where your mouth is. I think that there is, while again, I'm scraping the barrel a bit here, there is some encouragement that, hey, people are at least caring. Every year we see the amount of people that vote on a given election, even a presidential election, and those numbers aren't nearly as high as they should be. So I'm curious if there is some of that also in play here from you and your colleagues that you're seeing this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look historically, and I'm a data geek, I'm an elections data number geek. I mean, it's Christmas morning when I talk about election numbers. I love this kind of stuff, right? But if you look back 25 years, even in the state of Wisconsin, turnout amongst every category was much lower than it is today, actually, right? So people are engaged. We can do better. I mean, we're, you know, 60, 65% average in presidential elections for turnout. We can do better, but 20, 25 years ago when there was people that just never voted before, now they're all engaged. So yeah, we are having to answer more questions, having to put on more open houses and more forums and more communications, which is great. I don't have a problem with it. But I want people to understand that you need to find somebody that you trust, that you know, that you personally know, and take their word for something that's happening. Or actually, like you said, just go work an election. Mm. When we just sit back and watch what happens on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, obscure news websites, and just take those as the gospel on elections, it is absolutely the wrong thing to do. So that was the third component of trust. Is just find somebody locally who you know, that you trust, that can tell you the scoop on what's actually happening on election stuff. And that's why I feel so honored to represent, you know, central Wisconsin and the state of Wisconsin and chairing the, you know, Assembly Elections and Campaigns Committee. I mean, it all fits in great. That's all I'm doing between now and Election Day, even with our committee in Madison. Besides conferences like this that I'll get to this summer, we're actually still going to have informational hearings in our committee in Madison over the summer leading up to the election, just so we can keep dispelling myths or helping people understand things that are actually happening in our elections, or find problems that we can work to change. And we're working on those right now, actually. We had a hearing on May 16th, where we had the DOT, Wisconsin Elections Commission, Department of Health Services, who all worked together to help verify identities for individuals on their driver's license and state ID cards, come and talk to us about how individuals who are permanent non-citizen residents of Wisconsin could possibly take an ID and vote. So we had that as a discussion, like how much does it happen? Is it really a problem? Is it a real thing? So now following that hearing, we're working with those departments to get all the data that they already have together that they don't compare somehow, some way right now, which was the thing we found out in our hearing is that, well, we don't know. Well, we should know, right? Even if it's not a problem, I just want to be able to bring back the data to every election clerk in the state of Wisconsin and say, hey, I know you didn't have a problem. Some people thought it was. I'm going to take the time. We're going to dive into it. We're going to show you if it's a problem or not by just taking simple data points and comparing things. So we're just going to dispel myths all through the summer, or we're going to identify problems and fix them.
Mm-hmm. Scott, is there any other big topics you all are discussing at the conference?
Really just getting going. So we've got another six, seven sessions yet today that we're going to get through and spend all day Friday here and into Saturday morning discussing with a little interim break this evening to go out and see the Kansas City Royals over at Kauffman Stadium. So I had to throw that in.
Oh, man. That is like top three stadiums I want to visit. Oh, you just had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I had to, right? Okay, so that's what I tell these people when they ask me if I want to come to a conference or if I want to be a speaker somewhere. I say, okay, there's two rules I have. One, I either got to get to a baseball game and hit a new stadium, or two, I got to get to a state capitol and see a new state capitol. So where we are just outside of Kansas City, Jefferson City is too far to see the capitol. So, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to go to the ball game tonight.
You don't get a whole lot of, things to look forward to with this gig. I think that's awesome. I think that is completely understandable to have in a contract. I would do the same. I would do the very, in fact, I might bower years if I ever become a representative. I'm going to keep just piggyback on what you were doing there.
Right?
So yeah, you got it.
The last time was in Indianapolis, right? So the really cool thing about the last elections conference for NCSL was in Indianapolis, where right across from the hotel was the minor league Indianapolis Indians game, and then right across the street the other way was the state capitol. So I got to do both of them in Indianapolis. So.
Nice. We're speaking with Representative Scott Krug from the Assembly District 72. And Scott, recently you were honored with something pretty cool here from our RV organization.
Yeah, that was a surprise, right? So Mick from Greenway RV and I have been working on a bill for 6 years. He's wanted this so bad, and he's worked with us to try to help get it across the finish line on just kind of settling out where dealers and manufacturers intersect in the state of Wisconsin. And more technical stuff for people in the general public, but it's important stuff for people in the industry to be able to transfer their ownership and not lose their categories and things like that. So over the years, I've built some relationships not only with Mick, but other RV dealers locally, statewide, and even nationally at some of these conferences that I go to, like I'm talking about, where now they saw the success of the bill that we got through and signed into law and actually awarded me a national award from the RV dealers to a manufacturer, I should say, to say that you're the guy nationally that's recognized as being top on our issues, which is cool because I mean, my wife and I are avid campers. I mean, mm-hmm. We live in our camper in the summer down in Delwood more than we live at our house in Rome, and we really do live that lifestyle. So it's mm-hmm. kind of one of the coolest ones I've ever been given, individually, not only because it's national, but that's something that we live and do every day.
And it's earned. It's something that I think that it speaks to why we have, representatives from our area and from every area that's listening, out there and stuff. So that people, issues that you may not know about in another town or another city, but you do from here. So it gets represented. It gets talked about. It gets out there.
Yeah. If you look at, compare Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point and Marshfield, for example, and you just look at our industries that we have available in Wisconsin Rapids, much more tourism based than Marshfield or Stevens Point is, right? So you look up and down East Street and up and down Highway 73, what do you see? You got an RV dealer here, you got an RV dealer mm-hmm. there, you got an RV dealer there. I mean, so things in your community that are the things that you take back to Madison and you talk about. And if you're really good at your job, those things rise to the top. They become bills. And if you're really, really good at your job, you can convince the governor to sign them into law. So, I mean, it just shows your effectiveness over the years just to work on things back home and not get caught up in the headlines and follow all the BS that you hear everywhere else and just do your darn job. There's something to be said for that type of approach to this.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I wanted to note two things about your e-updates. I know a lot of people look forward to them and get caught up on a lot of information that way. You can find those e-updates by following Scott on social media. Facebook is a great one to go to. Type in Scott Krug and like and subscribe to what he's doing. You are going to be taking a break from the e-updates. I did want to let everybody know that, just as a side note. You're going to be pretty darn busy coming up here. But one of the things you will find out if you are keeping up on those e-updates and looking into them, this law known as the 50-piece rule. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, Scott.
It's one of the most antiquated state laws I think we have. Sometimes I struggle with the purpose of it, but I get it. I mean, so the 50-piece rule basically says, as of a date certain when we're out of legislative session hitting campaign season, we cannot use state resources to broadcast anything that's getting accomplished, which is unfortunate in a way because, like I said, with our elections committee, we're still ongoing. We're still doing work every day. There's still things I want to get out to people, but I can't do it through the e-update anymore according to state law. So it's going to be hard to get information out besides doing radio or, you know, maybe print articles in the paper. But our e-update subscriber list is some 20,000 individuals in the district. So it is really a useful tool to help people understand myth versus fiction and things like that. So I struggle with, you know, the 50-piece rule sometimes, but I also get it. It's campaign season. Some people could take it as being, you know, campaigning with state dollars or something like that, but it is what it is. It's just a rule that says during campaign season we can't communicate just that way, but we'll find other ways to communicate that information back to people.
With it not being a commonly known law, I think it's important to get out there, but I also think it's interesting. And do you think that there is a better way to do this? I think we can both see the essence of the rule, but in today's day and age where we don't, going back to the whole newspaper thing, we don't have to wait until the next morning to get our news. It's happening every second. Do you think that there needs to be an adjustment to this?
And we've tried, right? Because we've got in the state of Wisconsin, even under my committee's oversight, we also have the Ethics Commission, right? So we've got elections and ethics in my campaign committee. We have a very thorough and good ethics division that if something came out that was ethically blurring, that maybe a legislator could be told, okay, you can't do this or you can't do that, as opposed to saying you just can't do anything. So, I mean, there's got to be some gray in there besides just the black or white. You can do it or you can't do it. And I think we can dive into that a little bit, saying these are topics that are off the radar that you can't use, but these are topics that you can still communicate back to your constituents because they're still your constituents from June until November, right? I mean, that's the one struggle that I see with it, is that there's got to be some gray area, that there's something that can get back to our constituents that ethics can oversee and kind of, you know, bring people out on issues when they do show up. So,
Scott, we get so many things that we have going on. Don't always get to catch up on some stuff. And this is going back to March, but the Wisconsin Act 12 that provided a significant increase in state aid and shared revenue to local government. Can we touch on that for a second?
Yeah, this is probably the most monumental thing we've done in the last 10 years in the legislature, and I can't talk enough about it, because not only did we find a way to take the dollars that local municipalities send to Madison and let them keep more of it in every municipality of the state, but we also solved some Milwaukee problems that have been ongoing for like 30-some years or more, like the pension problems in the city of Milwaukee, gave Milwaukee the chance to decide what it's going to be so they can fund critical services. Well, they were supposed to. They didn't quite follow through as much as they should, but that's another story. But I think locally for every one of our counties, our municipalities, this is going to be something that's going to be a game changer, because you can use these shared revenue dollars for certain things, whether it's police, you know, EMS, fire service, you know, those critical services, but it can also be dedicated towards transportation projects. I mean, we've given the opportunity to keep more of your local tax money for every municipality in the state. And I think one of the biggest ones, actually, Adams County saw like a 2,000% increase in their shared revenue, because when the formula was created, they were at a low point and it was locked in back in 1990. So Adams County has been behind the ball on getting some of the dollars that they send to Madison back. So we got a 2,000% increase for our county government in Adams County. Which, being on the Adams County Board, was a godsend in a way, but it's also been a something to try to help people understand, you know, now that we have more local money, we've got to make responsible local decisions on these boards and how we're going to use it. So we stuck ours all into the sheriff's department, which I thought was the best way to do it in Adams County. But everybody will do it a little bit different, but now everybody's got at least a little bit more opportunity to fund some of their critical services.
As we're wrapping up here, I did want to send a shout out to a local grade school that joined you in Madison recently. Grove Elementary came and visited the Capitol.
Yeah, heck yeah. I mean, that is the one thing. Like, there's anything on my calendar any year when I'm sorry to the rest of the schools, but if schools coming to the Capitol, I don't care what's on my calendar. It's changing, right? Because that's my origin story, right?
Yeah.
My fourth grade field trip in from Grove School to Madison was where it all started for me. So, I mean, just getting the chance to go back every year when they do come to talk to the kids from Grove and say, hey, you know what? I was exactly where you were. I'm not going to tell you how long ago it was, but I was exactly where you were. I saw exactly the same things you're seeing, and that's why I want to be here. And that story resonates a lot more with kids from Grove when I tell it, you know, because I tell it to a lot of schools that come through because I want them to know how relatable we are and how realistic it could be for them to do this. But when I tell that story to Grove School kids and Grove School parents, you can see the eyes widen a little bit more and you can see a little more excitement in it. So, I mean, that is my ultimate favorite thing every year is when the fourth graders from Grove get a chance to come to the Capitol.
And not for nothing. You know, you and I have talked about this before. I think that, it matters. Accountability matters. And our politicians are not, you know, they need to have accountability and they need to be questioned on things. But at the same time, when we have generation after generation of parents just sitting there and yelling at their TV screen or their radio, complaining about politicians and little kids grow up and hear that, how often are they going to be likely to get into politics? These things matter. We need good representatives. We need good politicians. Democracy needs this. Our country needs this. So these things really do matter. And those stories, if that resonates with one kid and we got a future Scott Krug out there, worth it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, if you just you equate that out to what's going on in Congress right now, where you see mass retirements throughout the entire country of Congress people, you know, Republicans and Democrats who on their announcements just say, you know what, this just isn't worth it anymore. This is just too crazy. This is too stupid. I am not going to put my life through this anymore. I'm not going to make my family go through this anymore. I mean, every single announcement, they all blatantly just come out and say it. I know most leave because of it anyways. But now it is the thing that wasn't being said out loud.
Right, yeah, like, they're saying the quiet part out loud.
We're dumbing ourselves down, people. Like,
yeah.
Try to figure out how to work with your reps or elect new ones, but don't tear them down to the point where they just say, forget this. It's a different world out there right now.
Your Brewers are in action tonight in Detroit. Brewers are 5 games up over the Cubs in first place. It's got to feel pretty good the season so far.
See, like I tell you in April and May, I don't talk about them until they're close to the break and they're up a few games. So now we can start talking Brewers. I don't feel like I'm in jinx anymore, but they've got some really cool young kids. You know, Joey Ortiz, I mean,
yeah,
the guy's like, you can't say enough about all these kids and this team. I still think They're wearing themselves out pitching wise. They can't get starters to go more than a couple innings a game apparently, but they're going to pay the price for that if they don't pick up a couple starters here at the deadline. But they're doing all right.
I will say that they're not alone there. A lot of teams going through that right now. I wouldn't even know who to say has a great starting pitching or a great bullpen right now with the way it is, all the injuries that baseball has experienced. I'm a huge fan of Sal Frelick. I could just watch a game with him just out in the outfield. Just put the camera on him and let me watch his fielding. And Bryce Terang is another one that has been a lot of fun to watch and everything. It's a fun team, but I got to say, Murph is my favorite thing about that team right now. I just look forward to his press conferences and everything. I love the way he's handling this.
I said a little bit last month, right? And I'm glad we get some chance to talk about this time. It's just, he reminds me so much of Lou Brown from the Cleveland Indians from Major League. He's just the ham and egger. I didn't expect to be here. I don't know what I'm really doing, but we're going to figure it out. Let's go kick their butts, you know? So quintessential of that, and it's just so cool. And You know, last thing on Brewers, and if anybody get a chance to follow the Brewers at all, don't watch a lot. I mean, at least make sure that you get on Brewers Radio at some point this year. It's probably one of the last years you get a chance to hear Bob Uecker. If you haven't had a chance to listen to a Uecker game in a few years, you gotta do that. You gotta take advantage of that gem before he retires. So.
Yeah, a legend, a goat in this state at that microphone, and one of our favorites always. I'm catching every inning I can of Uecker, every bit I can. Scott, yeah. Great conversation as always. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they reach you?
Yeah, anytime. Phone, text or call anytime, 715-323-3293.
I appreciate the time, Scott. Thanks for joining us. You take care and safe travels out there.
Absolutely. Take care. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Max Inc. Radio.
The piano gal, Marta Hansen, will be rolling her keyboard from Sun Prairie to our studio for a Saturday night live concert. I'm Terry Barr. Join me, Rocker, and Jimmy K.
Weekend evening, 6 until midnight, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Summer is finally here, and outdoor adventure awaits. Get your adventure rolling with a camper from Greenway RV. As a family-owned dealership with 9 top 50 dealer awards for excellent customer service, they know the importance of quality time with loved ones. Plus, as a Route 66 network dealer, you can travel with peace of mind knowing help is just a phone call away. So kick off your next adventure with Greenway RV. You know you're in good hands. 8220 Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids or online at greenwayrv.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A nonprofit that helps train people to find jobs is closing its Milwaukee laundry service later this summer and laying off 136 people. Goodwill Industries operates one of the biggest commercial laundry operations in Wisconsin. It also owns retail stores that help people in need. Goodwill notified the state about its plans this week. Young voters in small-town Wisconsin say they care most about health care, the economy, reproductive rights, and climate change. Organizers say rural Wisconsin is getting more diverse.
They're also asking for more diverse representation within local government and within community decision-makers.
Crystal Egbo does political outreach in northeastern Wisconsin. 24% of the rural population are people of color, and many are immigrants. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Do you have thoughts about the parks and trails in Portage County? The Portage County Parks Department wants to hear feedback from city residents. You can take a 10-minute survey on the city website now through June 30th. The Brittany Sailor Bluegrass at the Lake Memorial Music Festival is on now through Saturday. It's at Red Sands Beach on Lake Wasicha. Music starts tonight at 6. Saturday is Community Day with free family events, touch a truck from 10 to 2, and a first responders meet and greet. The festival fair runs from 10 to 3. The music on Saturday is from 2 to midnight. You have two more chances to see the Silver Foxes at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater perform their show, The Perils of Carmen Gettit. They have a show tonight at 6 and Saturday at 2. Tickets are only $10 in the Lois Canton Theater inside WRCT. Find out more at wrctheater.org. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. As another summer weekend approaches, there are numerous options when it comes to movies. Buddy cop action film Bad Boys Ride or Die, I know which one I would choose, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, opens wide Friday. Somehow the film is pulling a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you're up for some horror, check out Ishana Shyamalan's directorial debut. Yep, that's M. Night's daughter, The Watchers, starring Dakota Fanning. Despite potential nepotistic brilliance, beware, Watchers is only receiving a 33% on RT. Opening in a limited release is the sci-fi fantasy drama Tuesday, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It opens on the coasts this weekend, but will find its way to a wider release next weekend. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, will enjoy a limited re-release on the big screen this weekend as well, if you're lucky enough to live close to one of the theaters. Check local listings and have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A dry and sunny day today, but we're still battling a breezy wind, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Otherwise, warmer today with high temperatures tapping the low 70s. Clouds increase overnight and rain rolls in by the morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Weather is sponsored by Econ Electric LLC, your neighborhood Generac generator dealership. Don't let bad weather affect your power. Visit Econ Electric in Wisconsin Rapids.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the ninth inning. Bases loaded and up to bat. Can you hear that crowd? Hear we? What just happened? Everything is dark. The lights are back on. Look at that.
Yes, the team invested in Generac generators from Econ Electric, so no one will miss a moment. Econ Electric is your neighborhood big league pro in Generac generators. Call Econ Electric at 715-423-8440 today.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a very special Friday edition. We're airing the grievances and gearing up for Crude and Dom's birthday week. You want to listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this June 7th, 2024. I have your host, James, with you, and I am being joined right now by our Wisconsin Rapid City Band. First up, we have Keith Olson, director, with us, and Keith is on the phone right now. Keith, good. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having us, James.
Appreciate the time, as always. We also have Tria Kimball with us. Tria, thanks for being here.
You bet.
And we have Priscilla Kite with us. Priscilla, good to see you.
Happy to be here.
If you can pull the microphone just a little closer. Thank you, Priscilla. I appreciate that. So, guys, I want to talk a little bit about the history of the Wisconsin Rapid City Band first and some of the members of it, and then we'll get into this amazing schedule you all have that's kicking off on June 18th. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the city band and how long this has been going on, because I have the data and I have the number in front of me, but it's still just surprising to see that number. It's a big number. That's a beautiful number, Tria.
It is. It's wonderful. 161 years is what we're celebrating. Ooh, this year.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty awesome. Keith, what was it like in the first show? No, I'm kidding. Keith, what is it?
The band was very small and had really, really bad instruments.
Yeah, yeah. The brass section, very, very, very different.
Yes.
Keith, when it comes to like keeping a tradition that's been alive that long, I can't imagine how you put into words what that means.
You really can't. I mean, something that's been going on that long. I played with the band 20 years ago or whatever, 25 years ago, and just having been able to take over for the likes of Wally Ives and Don Cheesbrough and Bob Kaiser, people that in the last 40 years have kept it going. Going back 161, it's crazy. And looking at some of the pictures from the turn of the previous century, and it really is a little overwhelming when you start thinking about it and talking about it.
I'm not even a part of the band, and it's humbling to me. Like, I can't imagine, you know, for you all, what it's like and everything. Tria, what does it mean for you to be a part of something like that?
Well, city bands run in my family going all the way back to my great-great-grandfather, not here in Wisconsin Rapids, but elsewhere. And I have photos going back almost that far. And it's just the history of families getting together in the park to listen to concerts, to watch their family and friends on stage performing, to hear some great patriotic music, to hear some popular tunes. It's just a nice way to spend an evening unplugged away from technology.
Mm-hmm. Priscilla, Keith, and Tria covered a lot of bases there. It's always tough, the third person that's got to answer these, but what it means to you?
I joined the band in around 1990, I believe, and from that time forward, my family and I, we picnicked before the band concert and then enjoyed it. My parents drove from out of town every week for the concert, and so that's really an important piece. Every year I say to my husband, should I stop playing this year? And he's like, no, it's a tradition in the family. We just do this.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and we'd miss you if you weren't there too. So,
absolutely.
And just speaking to that, you being a member, Priscilla, and so many of our other locals a part of this, that's what the City Band is made of. Can we talk about the members of the band and where they come from and what they're made up of, if we don't mind? Tria, I'll start with you.
We have members that are teenagers. We have members that are almost 80 or near 80 or something. And we have every occupation possible. And it's just a great variety of members. Some have been in it for their whole lives. Some have been in it for maybe just a year or two. And we're always welcoming new members. And we have about, between 45 and 55 on stage most nights. So it's a pretty nice size group.
Yeah. Keith, one of the things that I enjoy about acting, about working as an entertainer, I like my professional gigs, and it's fun. You get a paycheck. That's pretty nice. But my favorite thing to do is teaching and working with Second City or being able to do community theater and some of that. It's why I keep going forward. It's a big part of it for me. If I didn't have one, I wouldn't want the other. I would rather be able to do community theater than work professionally at this point in my life. Because of how much it means to me. I'm curious of how it is for you, Keith. You put so much of your heart and soul and time into this. When you do work with, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but unprofessionals, if you will. Not people, their talent is professional, but maybe they don't do this for a living. So there's a different approach to it. How do you balance that? How do you enjoy that, Keith?
Well, two years ago, I retired from teaching music and started a business, and so I've been very overwhelmed. I will be honest with keeping the business afloat and learning a bunch of new stuff there. But one of the deal breakers for starting or not starting this business was whether I would be able to keep doing City Band and some of my other playing gigs that I do, and it's absolutely imperative to me that I'm able to continue to do it. I wouldn't be able to do it without people like Tria and Priscilla, Jean Olson, my wife, the band director at Lincoln High School, some of the student interns and volunteers that we have, being able to do the logistics of the band because I just don't have time to do it. But it's vastly important to me to be able to continue working with like Tria said, those people that are in their 80s that have way more experience at this than I do, being able to work with them and draw from them, being able to continue to do a little bit of teaching with some of those younger students that are playing in the group. It's really everything to me. We have a City Band that's starting on the 18th, but for me, City Band starts in February and it doesn't end until October. So it's a big part of my life, and it's really important that I keep doing it for all the same reasons that you just said, community theater and and whatnot is important to you.
Keith, I was hoping I could shoehorn this in. I got to take in a Lincoln concert this year. Your wife is good. She's great, man. Those kids were amazing. She did an amazing job.
She's one of the best, right? The state of Wisconsin is pretty lucky to have her. So.
Shout out to her. A big thank you to her for those kids. Great show.
We do have a bunch of those kids playing with us this summer as well. We do open it up to the students that do well with solo and ensemble, or where they want to work on sight reading skills or whatever. We invite them to come in. And as long as they make the commitment to be in there as many Tuesdays as possible, preferably all of them, we allow them to come in and play in the band and sit next to those people that have that vast experience. And at the end of the season, many of them have told me it's one of the highlights of their year, and it's outside of their normal school performances.
You know, Keith, we've been doing this a while together, a couple of years at least, and we're already building such great chemistry, because that's exactly where I wanted to go. I wanted to not only encouraging people to take in these shows and certainly getting some great entertainment, some great music, which you all have touched on already, but you are also supporting local. You're supporting our local our local musicians, our kids. Some of the kids are seniors and going on, and some are not. And being able to support that is also a great advantage, and something that I know means a lot to our Central Wisconsinites out there. It's having a good time and also being able to support a good cause at the same time. Nobody does it like we do in this state. And it's such a fun opportunity to be able to do that. You're out, you're taking these shows in, and you're not only outdoors and visiting one of our most, I'm very biased about this, but my favorite park in this whole town, but you're also getting a chance to support local. You know, when we talk about buying local, supporting local, we mean mom and pop businesses, but we also mean the arts. And I will mention this until it changes. Wisconsin finished dead last in funding the arts this year. Like, that can't happen. I know how proud Wisconsinites are. Let's support the arts. Let's make sure that we have things like the Wisconsin Rapid City Band and Band in School and some of these things continuing on. And we do that by celebrating these kind of things and showing up and attending these events. And it all kicks off June 18th, you guys. You guys ready for this? You're feeling good about it?
We absolutely are. We have some wonderful sponsors this year from the City of Wisconsin Rapids and Domtar and Hyde Music Company and Renaissance Learning. We have the Sherrill Tire and Service People, Solaris, the Swing Doctors, the Village of Buren, Waterworks and Lighting Commission. And one thing we'd like to highlight this year is a longtime band member who passed away this past year. He was 95 when he passed. He had dedicated decades to the arts in Wisconsin Rapids, and that was Earl Garber, and his family is sponsoring one of our concerts in memory of Earl.
Oh,
so we are absolutely excited for this season.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's awesome, and a great way to continue that legacy of his. That is awesome. We appreciate him and his family doing that.
Absolutely.
I mentioned June 18th is the first performance. It'll be 7:30 over at Robinson Park. Let's talk a little bit about the first show of the year. How does that feel? Does it take a little getting your bearings used, or you just go and roll in and let's do this? You're all set. You're ready to go. Keith, how is it for you?
Well, since I don't conduct and I'm not teaching music every day anymore, there is a little bit of blowing off the dust and kind of getting back into the swing of things. And so this year we actually did schedule a rehearsal for the 11th to be able to get everybody together. And there's a ton of logistics that has to happen at the beginning of the year, getting shirts to everybody, getting their music out to them. And we just didn't want to have to waste time with that first night taking care of a bunch of that. So we're gonna get as much of that out of the way on the 11th, and then do a little playing together the week before. So this coming Tuesday is actually our first rehearsal at Lincoln. For me, it's sitting down over the last couple of weekends, and certainly this weekend, and looking over scores and putting final touches on concerts, you know, where we maybe have had to sub a piece of music in because something didn't exist anymore, or we lost parts or whatever. So it's really some of the logistics, and then and one of my favorite things, I get to listen to most of what we're going to do for this year, and refresh my memory on some of the scores and whatnot. So That's the big thing for me is I get to spend some time doing that.
It's very cool. We're excited for you guys to be able to hit the stage and get this going. And I should mention Robinson Park. Journalistically, I am a little biased about this one, but I'm also right. It's one of the best stages and one of the best areas to be able to see anything. The acoustics, the way it is over there, the setup. I've not only been on that stage, but I've sat in just about everywhere in that area. And there's not a bad spot. So you're going to really enjoy this. It's going to be a great one. And we want to say a big thank you to Waterworks and Light and Renaissance Learning sponsoring that first show. June 25th, another show at Robinson Park at 7:30. This one a little special as well. Going to be sponsored by the City of Wisconsin Rapids with opening remarks from Mayor Zacher. It's going to be his first chance to be able to talk to the audience with City Band. That's going to be fun.
It will. I haven't met him yet. I'm looking forward to this.
I'm a little spoiled in this job. I get to meet all of our representatives and such. And Matt is off-air, on-air, the same guy. Good person. Just a good soul. Good person. They're going to have fun meeting him. And certainly, I'm sure he'll have fun being able to take in the show. I know he loves music. I know he's going to enjoy that one. That'll be a great show. And then one of the bigger ones, signature events, really, for you guys, I would say, is a July 4th celebration that takes place at the Centralia Center at 7. This one's sponsored by Engel Fellowship Lodge and Local and Loving It. Very cool. We appreciate them doing this. This 4th of July show, every year, you guys knock it out the park. It's a beautiful show. I would think that your show is bigger than the fireworks. That's how much I enjoy it. is there anything unique or different that you guys are going to be doing this year, or are we going to wait and see? Because I'm not a good journalist if I don't ask that question, but... Go ahead, Keith. I'm putting you both on the spot here at the same time.
That's okay. It's kind of our, I don't want to say usual show, but it's a lot of the patriotic music that we have done throughout the years. I do have one piece that's on order that I'm really hoping is going to be here soon. And it's a sing-along. But I'm not going to say too much more just in case it doesn't come in.
Yeah. So that's great. That was great. That was good tease.
and the nice thing is about music is, one, the sheet music doesn't spoil, and two, the 4th of July will come around one more time.
So, right, exactly. Yes.
it is a great show. It's so much fun to do that show. And the various tunes, there's so much music that we can program for it that it doesn't really get stale. It's really nice. So that one's a lot of fun. Hopefully Mother Nature cooperates this year. Last year, I think we had to cancel the 4th of July because we got a storm that rolled in. So
Now, since you mentioned that, I will mention one of the things that I noted going over the show and your website. And again, the website, everybody, wrcityband.org, wrcityband.org. We'll put that out there again before we wrap up. If there is inclement weather, you guys have a location you can go to. I don't know if the 4th you'll be able to, but other shows, I see that Lincoln High School, the PAC Auditorium, you'll be able to do shows there if there is bad weather.
Yeah, there's only one show, and I think it's the 25th of June. I'd have to check my calendar one more time. But the kids from Wisconsin will be in during that week. And so we wouldn't be able to use the facility that night. Otherwise, our rain location is the PAC, and we simply start 15 minutes later. So it'd be 7:45, I think, instead of 7:30.
It's great to have a backup, you know, and that's really nice, especially for many of us that look forward to these shows and everything. To be able to have a kind of secondary location is wonderful. Again, the July 4th show will be at the Centralia Center at 7, and a big thank you to the sponsors for that one, Engel Fellowship Lodge and Local and Loving It. July 9th, busy week for you guys that week. July 9th, back at it over at Robinson Park at 7:30 with Cheryl Tire sponsoring that one. It's going to be a really fun show, I imagine. And July 16th, you'll have Solaris and Engel Fellowship Lodge sponsoring that one, again, 7:30 show at Robinson Park. So you get into the middle of July. You guys have been doing this for a little while and everything. Do you have to rehearse as much? Do you get the opportunity to rehearse as much? Do you need to?
We have different music every single week we play. We do the same encore at the end of the night, but all of the other music is different. So we get there at 5:30, open our folders, and practice this music for the first time, and then the concert happens at 7:30. So,
I think that's so impressive. That's awesome.
It's a little bit like improv comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get up there, you have an idea of what you're going to do, and then the audience claps at the end, and everybody's happy when it goes well.
It's the first thing I thought of. That's hilarious. Yeah. That's a great comp for it. July 16th, 7:30 show, Solaris and Engel Fellowship Lodge sponsoring that one again. Then July 23rd, be at Robinson Park, 7:30 show, and this one is a really unique one. I like this. You're going to be featuring the Swing Doctors with this one. What are you excited about with that, Keith?
Well, first of all, I've been the bass trombone player for that group for 25 years, so I will conduct four tunes, and then I get to sit down and play.
Oh, very cool.
Which is always exciting. The dance concert, the annual, we call that our dance concert, that annual dance concert, is something that a vast majority of our audience looks forward to. And it was, I don't know, Priscilla, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's been at least 6 years that the Swing Doctors have been sponsoring that concert and then also playing on that concert.
I think that's correct.
And huge shout out to the other 16 people in that group that come and volunteer their time, as well as the sponsorship for it. But it's a chance for the community to see a little bit different kind of live music that if they don't get out to see River City's Jazz in Stevens Point or the Swing Doctors at Bullseye, they get a chance to see that there are even more forms of musical art being done on a regular basis in our area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. July 30th, last show at Robinson Park. A big thank you to Village of Buren and Domtar for sponsoring that one. Make sure to attend that one, especially with it being the last one at Robinson Park, but not your last show, because then a little bit later, August 6th, you'll be wrapping up the season at the Performing Arts Center, the City Band Benefit Concert. This is sponsored by Peg Garber in memory of Earl W. Garber, which you were touching on earlier, Tria, which I appreciate you mentioning. This is certainly an important show because of the fundraising aspect of it, but I imagine it's going to hit home really to the hearts of all of you with this one and who it's in honor of. And Priscilla, did you want to touch on that at all? What it means?
One of the special things in my memory of being in the band is I remember Earl, my first season there. He, along with a number of other older people playing, he was much younger then. Mm-hmm. I was much younger then. Mm-hmm. And that was, I just remember him playing and it being so very faithful. When the City Band went out on its own away from being part of the Wisconsin Rapids park and recreation, mm-hmm. Peg Garber was very instrumental in being a beginning board member, and she was on the board for many, many years. So they were both hugely supportive of the band. Yeah. And I think we wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for that couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. And certainly an opportunity to not only honor him and honor that family, but and keep it going and keeping that honor going, that legacy going. As we're wrapping up, you all, I wanted to make sure that we noted a couple of things. One, this is, we're making the audience, we're telling them how fun this is, how exciting it is. It would be cruel to not allow them to join the band. We want to encourage you to join the band, be a part of the band if you'd like. You can do so. We also encourage you, if you don't have an instrument, you don't have a talent like that. I play a mean air guitar, but I haven't played trumpet or cornet in 20 years. So outside of that, but I can sponsor. I can be a part of things that way and reaching out and being a part of the band that way. There's lots of ways that you can incorporate and work with the band. Certainly volunteering. We always look forward to that too. Could always use volunteers when it comes to this. There are many different ways that you can interact and be a part of things at the Wisconsin Rapid City Band. And most of all, taking in the shows. Take in these shows, everybody.
Absolutely. You can find us on Facebook also at WR City Band. And that's where, if we do have a rain issue or a weather issue, you can find out up-to-date current information there. And we're always looking for people to just sit in the audience, clap, support the local arts, support live music.
Mm-hmm. It's a free show, everybody, and you can't ask for much better entertainment than you're going to get, even if they were charging. It's a great show. It's a really, really fun show. Any last words before I felt like I cut you off, Priscilla? Sorry.
families should come and enjoy it. There, Robinson Park, have you said, is a wonderful park right within hearing distance. There's playground equipment. There's the shelter where you can bring a picnic for your family. It's not a necessarily just sit down and sit quietly with your hands folded kind of concert. I mean, you know, people come and read during the concert. Children play during the concert. The dance concert.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue, and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.